This episode of the Fiction Writers Podcast is brought to you by How to Write a Novel That Sells. Do you dream of writing a best-selling fiction novel? With the right tools, you could get there sooner than you think. Visit www.howtowriteanovelthatsells.com and unlock the secrets to writing compelling fiction taught by international best-selling author Lana Makara. Welcome to the Fiction Writers Podcast with Lana Makara, where you will discover tips, tricks, and ideas for fiction that is hashtag unputdownable. Here you'll find new energy, new perspectives, new resources, and new ideas that will spark your creativity into a blaze of brilliance. It's easier than you think. Be sure you visit our website at www.fictionwriterspodcast.com. While you're there, subscribe to us via your favorite network. Now, get out your notebook, tune in, and let's get started.
My name is Lana Makara, and welcome to the Fiction Writers Podcast. Tips, tricks, and ideas for fiction that is hashtag unputdownable. Today, I am so delighted to welcome an author to our broadcast, R.M. Almonte, a self-published metaphysical sci-fi author from New York City with Dominican roots. He once resided in Japan and now lives in Florida, and I met R.M. at a book table event. So this is very unusual that I actually meet people in person. Usually it's all virtual, right? But this is real life here. His standalone book, Scratching the Cosmic Conscious, precedes his United Earth series, which began in 2015. Influenced by childhood stargazing and shows like Star Trek, yeah, me too, Almonte's vivid dreams and imagination are central to his storytelling. Welcome, RM.
Thank you. For the duration of the show, you could just call me Raymond or Ramon, whichever one you like.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah. You can even say, hey, you. So, go ahead.
You can call me anything. Just call me for dinner.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to say that it's really important, you know, once you finish your book to get out there. Because I was just thinking how choices are so important. If I never made the choice to go to that, I would never meet you. And then I had to make the choice to actually look at the cards, who I spoke to, and send emails to different people. I wouldn't be here, you know. And I was saying on TikTok how you don't know where that can take, the next step can be.
That is so true. I was talking to someone today about the event that we met at. It was the Sunshine State Book Festival in Gainesville, Florida, and how the follow-up, you know, I left there with all these cards because I didn't have a table. I was walking around and collecting cards and talking to people, and going through those cards took me about 2 days or 2 afternoons, I should say. But you know, it's so important. You have treasure in the follow-up. You don't know who you're going to connect with and who they know that you might need to know and all of that. So it's definitely worth the time to follow up and just see who's there. It's fun to me now. It's like an adventure. It's like a treasure hunt to see who is there. So I was really happy to meet you, to get your email on, and you took action, went right over to the podcast and made an application. I mean, I was impressed by that. You're the only one.
Really?
200 authors.
I was surprised when I saw the dates. I was like, I thought it was going to, you know, it was going to be like sometime, you know, 2026 or something. Like you said, it was the first time I ever been around that many authors. At the most before that was maybe like two authors I would be around, published authors.
Yes.
You know, being an author, you're not really around a lot of authors most of the time. And it's a lonely thing. Like you're sitting there and you're writing. But we're here to talk about how to get started.
How to get started, yeah.
Can we just jump into that part?
Sure. Go ahead and start by telling me, why did you pick metaphysical and sci-fi?
Honestly speaking, I kind of It's always been there in my mind. And the first book, I made one of those grave errors when I was starting my writing career. And that was, it was on an old computer, no backups, and it crashed. So that first book was going to be, it was based on someone's personal life of what they had went through. This young girl had been mugged and, you know, basically like she was punched in the face and they broke her jaw. So I was going to write a story about that and it just crashed. And then I forgot what the second story I started writing and that I didn't learn my lesson, that crashed. But with Scratching the Cosmic Conscience, I finally learned my lesson. And really, the catalyst for that one started with the book by Paulo Coelho, The Alchemist. An old friend of mine that I grew up with, he said, you need to read this. This is going to make you want to just take off and go around the world. And that's exactly what I did. I read that book. If you haven't read that book, you need to read that book. And I took off to Japan. I had about $800 in my pocket. I was staying in a small room. I got a job illegally washing dishes. And that first month, I was eating rice and eggs because that's all I could afford. So if someone was kind enough to invite me to dinner or to their house to eat, or I ate at the restaurant, other than that, I was eating rice and eggs. And I walked everywhere. And the distance is not that, it's not as bad as the United States can be as far as like walking somewhere, but it's still far enough if you're not taking the train. So that's what started my writing career. One of the things I want to talk about is how not to make the same mistakes I made, which is it took me 6 years to write Scratching the Cosmic Conscience. And the only reason why it took me that long was self-doubt. So the biggest battle you're going to have when you start is that you're going to feel not up to par. You're going to feel like you're not, why should I be doing this? Why am I wasting my time? I'm not Stephen King or J.K. Rowling or any of those other famous authors. And that's going to be your battle. That's going to be a daily consistent battle. Every time you sit down and write, he or she is going to come out and attack you with everything they have. And you need to get tougher. And let me tell you a secret. On your second book, that's not going to go away. On your third book, that doesn't go away. On your fourth book, fifth book, sixth book. I mean, I've heard Stephen King talk about it. He has, what, 80 books now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he still says that person shows up. So, but the difference is, if I beat you once, I could beat you twice. If I beat you twice, there's, you know, no question about it. So when you get started, the first thing I need you to do is, if I would suggest typing because it just makes life easier. And one of the things that when I first did this book, I was typing with three fingers. Now I can blind touch and I am up to like 45 words per minute. You know, you want to be a professional fighter? Learn to fight. You can't get in the ring if you can't fight. So you want to be an author? Learn to blind touch. That's just going to make your life easier. If you don't, you can, because I did it without it. It just makes your life easier. So you sit down and you're going to start writing. Just write. Treat this as a job that you need to show up. If you have three kids and you're a single mom, someone else did it and someone's making a profession out of it, look up those authors who do that and follow them. If you have some disability or whatever it is, there's somebody out there who's done this to keep you motivated. But it's going to take more than motivation. So it's going to take hardcore discipline. Why haven't I started talking about writing techniques yet? Because at this stage, I'm a pantser. So the way I write, I don't know what I'm going to write about. I just sit down and start writing. Sometimes I may have an idea, but a good one is Scratching the Cosmic Conscience. Had no idea what I was going to write about. And the three books you see, is this going to be live on video or?
We have video and just audio, so.
Okay. Oops, yeah. Sorry. Forgot to turn it off.
Oh, no worries.
Yes. So the live, what was I saying? So why am I not talking about that? because, so going back to me being a pantser, for those of you who don't know, a pantser is someone who just sits down and starts writing. A plotter is someone who will get an idea of what they're going to write about, you know, chapter one, chapter two, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And so I can't really talk much about the plotting point of view, but from a pantser's point of view, is you're going to sit down and you're going to write. And the editor needs to get kicked out of the house, the city, the town, the country, the planet. The editor side of you is not allowed to be around the creative, because guess what he's going to do? He's going to choke it till you have nothing left.
Let's pause right there, because that is a good point. I've heard so many people say that they get so tied up because they don't think what they're writing is good. Forget about that.
And let me confirm it for you now. Your first draft is going to be terrible.
Yes.
Accept it. Accept it. Enjoy it. Embrace it. Right? So as we were talking about beforehand, I wrote a book. So far, the name I have is Fogs of Time. I might change it. It's a time travel book. That book is, if I gave it to anybody, they'd be like, who wrote this? A two-year-old? You know? So I am, like I said, I took out the meat cleaver for that. But this is the second draft. That's where you would do that. Your first thing is to finish the book, because you don't know the feeling you're going to get when you finish that first book. It's like, it's such a high. And every time you finish a book, you get that same high. But the second time around, you still get the same high, I feel, but you know you did it. So it's like, you know better. But the first time you do it, man, forget about anybody buying your book. You finished. Not that, you know, here's another one. I know several people, I want to say around 10 people, who started writing around the same time, were further along than me. Guess how many finished? Zero finished their book. They were better writers than me, had better grammar than me, were better educated, because I got my GED, never finished college. They maybe even had better upbringings than me, but I had one thing they didn't have. They finished. That's it. So going back to discipline, all right, so let's pick a time. So we'll pick the time that I usually have right now. 9 to 12 is the time I give myself. Sometimes distractions will pop in, but at that time, let's say you only have an hour. We're going to sit down. We're going to close off the world. We're going to turn off our phones, and we're going to start writing. From a pantser's point of view, I don't care what you write about. That's what the second draft is for. Don't bother. Just reread to know where you left off and continue. So let's shoot for your first time. Let's shoot for 100 words, anywhere from 50 words to 500 words, right? If you could do more than that, perfect. And then little by little, like if you were going to the gym, you're not going to go to the gym and try to bench press 500 pounds. You're just going to hurt yourself. So little by little, we'll keep moving that up. My goal is always 2,000 words, but I'm going to try to move that up to 10,000 words. Is that a crazy goal? Yes, that is nuts. You know, that's like writing a book a week. But it's good to have those really high goals once you get to the point where you're doing this every day. Right? In the beginning, just get it done. Get it done. I don't care if you write a sentence, a couple words, get it done. Write it down.
Yes, yes. For me, it started out when I had 7 children at home. My children are all grown, but I had 7 children.
There we go.
And I would get up at 5 o'clock and I would go into writing until 7 when they got up. When they started getting up, then it was time to start the day and I would not be able to do any more writing that day. But, you know, with that, I still wrote 15, 20 books while I was raising those kids. And so when people tell me I don't have time, it's like, you're not making it a priority. If you're made it a priority,
that's it right there.
You find the time, right?
That's it right there. Let me say something, add something to that. And let me just say, let me give you a you know, I can't even say the words in applause because it's so amazing that with 7 kids, you know, and I'm over here like, oh, I have to work, you know. one of the things that you need to focus when, well, first of all, is why are you writing? If you're writing because it's just something you have to do. You can't even, sometimes you can't even put your finger on it. It's something that is part of you. Then sit down and write. If you're writing because somebody else told you maybe you should write, but not you, then, you know, change the channel, turn this off. It's not for you. But if it's something you need to do, that's a gift that is coming from, I don't care what you believe in, is coming from out there or within, you know, and it's not yours anymore. You need to finish that book and share that because there's a reason why you're having this feeling. Once that book is out there, it has a life of its own and it does its own thing. And it's going to affect people in different ways. So get over your fear. Yes, your first draft is terrible. Ramon just told you that. Accept it. Relish it. It's okay. What you just wrote was terrible. Yeah. We're not making this book perfect. You know, what we want to do is finish. We want to finish. Then we'll start. Once you're finished, then you'll start looking at writing books and how to do this and listening to people talk about it. But that first book, finish it. And even once you publish it, it's terrible. Fine. They don't execute people for bad books, do they? We're checking because, you know. You never know. Okay, so since they don't execute, at least in this country, they don't execute you for bad books. They might ban your book, maybe, but even then, that's, you know, a pretty good thing. but yeah, even if it is terrible, you write another one. You're gonna get better, and guarantee it. Mm-hmm. Guarantee it.
What do you do then if you sit down and nothing comes, and you're like?
I, you know, for me, like writer's block doesn't exist. That is an excuse you're making up. You don't know what to write. Start asking questions. I remember the one scene, and that is in book 3 of the United Earth series. And I didn't know I was stuck. And there's a scene where they're like in between life and death, two of the characters, and somehow they met there. And I believe in past lives, but I don't remember any of them. And I don't know what that in-between stage is like. So I started asking questions, you know, and not only did I start asking questions, I started pestering the other character with the questions to the point where the character started getting annoyed. Luckily not at me, because he might walk off the page, but she's laughing because she gets it. So start asking questions. Where are you? What are you doing? Why am I here? Stop bothering me. I'd rather be doing this. And then if it doesn't fit in, guess what you can do? Take out that meat cleaver and chop it right out.
Do it.
No clean cuts here.
Amputation.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard so many famous authors say that, like, just take it and chop it. Chop it right out.
Yeah, don't be afraid. The page is still, it's totally belongs to you. Nobody's going to see it. And just doing that is going to spark ideas and give you some imagination and some visuals that come up.
Yeah, if you wait for inspiration or motivation, you might as well go watch a tree grow.
Wow, that is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might as well go watch a tree grow because that's more exciting. It's a who do you remember the author? His last name was Lamour, I think. He said you have to first turn on the faucet before the water starts running.
Oh, I don't know. Was that Lewis Lamour?
Yes.
Oh yeah, he's one of my heroes.
Yes, and I love that quote. I just moved here like about 8 months ago from Japan, and in my old office I used to have it up there. You know, just as one of the quotes, like, you have to turn on the faucet You know, you're not going to have that. Some days I'll wake up and I had the dream of an entire scene. That doesn't happen every day. And, you know, your muse is not going to show up every day. And sometimes they don't want to even talk to you.
Right. Sometimes you have to skip. I skip. If a scene is giving me trouble, I'll move to the next one.
Really?
Like, mull it. Yeah, let it mull over. Right. I'll put a note in there. This is a scene about this, and put it in brackets, and then I'll keep writing on, and then I'll come back to that later. If it's giving me trouble, because usually if it's giving me trouble, there's some unsolved question, an issue that I haven't thought through, or
yeah,
something like that. So I don't want that to hold me up.
Yeah, I'll rush through it and just continue writing, but I will make notes on it. Like, I don't like this, change it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'll definitely make note. But I for me, like, I feel like if I'm on the road and the bridge is out, you know, I have to build that bridge before I can even try to cross, because I feel like I can't get over, because then do you plot or are you a pantser?
I'm a plotter because I had so many deadlines. I was rolling out 2 and 3 books a year under deadlines.
Wow.
So I found out that I needed to plan, otherwise I wasn't going to make it. I didn't have time to go back and do a lot of rewriting.
Yeah.
At least I need the sequence of events to be right. And then I could, you know, fiddle with the characters and the dialogue and things like that. So yeah, I ended up being a plotter at the end, out of self-defense.
Okay. So when you first started, you were more of a pantser?
Yeah, the first book, I was more just feeling along, and I didn't really know what I was doing. I mean, I was just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Trying to figure it out. And the second book, it took me 2 years to write. I was still trying to figure it out. But by the end of the second book, my publisher started to pressure me to turn them in. You know, they wanted the deadlines closer because I was selling.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, you know, then I had to figure out a way to crank them out quicker. And that's where my novel notebook came in. If you go to my website, lanamacara.com, you can download this information about creating a notebook for your book. So you can keep all your facts and everything in one spot. And I print it out and put it in a binder. So I'm sitting there at the typewriter keyboard, and I can flip open the notebook and turn to whatever page and find out the information I want, you know, in just a couple seconds. Also, the notebook isn't prone to be deleted or crash or get a virus or something. So I have it, you know, all there. But I do it on digital and I do it print and then put it in the notebook. So those two things happened. After my second book, I started using the notebook and also plotting. More plotting, yeah.
I think the closest thing I do to plotting is I'll have an Excel sheet, and that's with the characters. Because especially with the United Earth, there's so many different kinds of aliens I have, and different names and who they are. So, and even, you know, different cultural things from each one, and drinks and foods and stuff like that. So I'll, as I'm writing along, I'll go back and fill out that character page and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I found it hilarious. I sent it to an editor and he didn't know what to do with it. I was like, that's so you could check the spellings of the character's name and know who I'm talking about. But you know, it's a battle against yourself, and remember that you really need to stop being so hard on you. Like I never understood. You know, and I do it, of course I do it too, how we can be so hard on ourselves, yet we won't accept that from anybody else. What did you say to me?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but, you know, so when you're writing, especially when you're writing your characters, there's many fun things you can do. And I remember, you know, this is the famous thing. You don't know what to do with a character, take out a bat and beat the crap out of them. And I remember I heard that. I forgot what author said that, but I That's what I did with my character. I didn't know what to do, so I just threw him in jail and beat the crap out of him. I threw him in an alien jail, but it's a jail. No, you know, not a fun place to be in.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that actually helped a lot because now he doesn't talk about it like typical person, but he's suffering from it. And the only person who could see it is an alien doctor who sees it and is calling him out on it. And he's getting aggressive with it. But you can't mess with this. He's a feline alien. Can't mess with him. So, yeah, you get stuck, beat him up, have something tragic happen. If it doesn't really mix in with what you're doing, then you can always cut it out and rewrite that. But I, you know, in life, we don't like this. This is not something we look forward to. But, you know, stuff does happen. Tragic things do happen. I remember in my own life, I had three people die, like, within a week. You know, it was like, that was 2017. It was my grandmother. It was my mentor, a really good friend of mine's. And then this kid I grew up with. And it just bum, bum, bum. And of course, like with my grandmother, she was 94, so God bless her. So, you know, she lived that long. I hope I reached that age. But then my mentor, he was 50. Why am I telling you this? Because that went into my story. When one of my characters died, I took my grief and put it right in there. You know, I had to do something with it. So might as well do something productive. I'm not saying go get yourself in trouble or go make yourself sad, but take that pain you've been through and put it into your writing. Take the, don't forget, like some young writers, it would just be so dark. It's like, can we have like a little bit of light?
Open the window just a crack.
Can we go outside and get some sun? So, you know, put the joys in your life. Like, you know, with the next book I'll be doing after I finish these two, I will be adding about being a father, because I'm, you know, for the last 2 years, I'm learning how to be a father. And that's a huge joy in my life. That has to go into my book. You know, that person you don't like, guess what you get to do? They get to be your villains. Don't make them exactly alike, but, you know, you can use their name. That's not illegal. Right? It's not illegal to.
No, it's not. As long as the person doesn't resemble them at all, you know, that they can't say, oh, that's me.
Yeah.
They're different. Yeah. Yeah.
And even then, like, I turn them into aliens, so it's fine.
Yeah. Have some fun with it. Get creative. Have some fun. And I find that if I use some personal incident, you know, I change the names to protect the guilty. But if I use some personal incident, I can write that because I've experienced it. I know what that feels like. And it brings a lot of depth and interest to the writing because it's real.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if this happens to you. Do you ever get attached to your characters?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Not the only weird one.
I do. When I finished my first series, it was a series of four books, and I finished the last book, and I grieved. I really grieved. I had been spending time with those people for the last 10 years total, I guess.
Wow.
I knew I wasn't going to see them again. That was it. We were done, you know? So, yeah, I did. I went through a grief period, probably lasted about a month, where I just felt sad and depressed.
I guess that's why some people would just do volume after volume after volume.
Right. You get in the world and you start getting comfortable and you know what they're going to do and how they think and all this. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. With the character building, one of the things I could suggest too as well is combine people. So in Scratching the Cosmic Conscience, one guy, his name is Clay, and he's like a really bad influence kind of person. He's a combination of a couple people. And even Trevor, to a certain degree, is a combination of myself with other people. It's not just all me, but it's mostly me, but there's a lot of other people in there. And his best friend Shinaga, I also, his image is a spitting image of this guy that I love working with, just very like indigenous look and very upbeat kind of guy. He always knew these cool things to do, and he knew all the cool spots in New York City. And so that I based him off of that. Introduce a person. There's always something you can do. The point is, keep writing. Like, there's no other skill you need but to keep writing. Do you know your ABCs? You know how to somewhat spell. You don't even have to spell perfectly in this first try.
Yeah.
But it's a mental challenge. And once you get over it, once you finish, you're going to be so proud of yourself. And you should be.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Just finishing. And then if you go through the second draft, third draft, however long it takes, and you get it into print, I mean, every step is another milestone that most other people don't do. How many people finish a book and never publish it? How many people publish a book and just lay it on their shelf and don't ever do anything else? They just do that one. They never tell anybody about it. And that's it. But to continue on and to build a career, such an honor that you're giving yourself.
Yeah. And then guess what happens, especially if you're self, and even if you're not a self-publisher, because I hear people in a traditional publish that they still have to do all that. So now you're going to become a marketer and a campaign manager and whatever else role you have to play until you make it, you know, bigger where you can hire these people out. Till then, you know, like each step you're going to take on a new role. And you have to learn something new. And, you know, because I made tons of mistakes in the last 14 years. And one of them is, I wasn't as disciplined. This is why I'm harping about it so much, because I wasn't as disciplined as I am now. And it takes, like anything you want in life, it's discipline. You need discipline and consistency. That's, you know, for anything.
Sure. If you think about professional golfers and basketball players and people who play instruments and they want to get really good and have a career in that, Do they have to be rolled out in the morning to get started? Absolutely not. Their feet are on the ground. They're getting ready. They're going out to practice. They're going out to do whatever they need to do. They're eating the right diet. They've got their head.
And they're not lucky.
They're not lucky.
They're not lucky.
Yeah.
You know, they're not lucky. Like, you look at anybody great in whatever field, and they're bossing their butts, and they're repeating. So you want to be great at this? You can be. You don't want to do the hard work? Well, you're not going to be great. You have to do the hard work. Yes, there is lucky breaks that will come along, of course. But you have to put in the hard work. And, you know, when you love something, it's not hard work. I look forward to writing, you know.
Yeah, I do too. It's like a treat. It's like, hey, I get to do this. You know, this is fun. Absolutely. That is the spirit, you know, to see it as something good, something positive that you get to do, not that you have to do.
Yeah.
And that you also realize that you got to stick with it.
I'm laughing because when you said that, just remind me of a story. So an old friend of mine's, he was doing a nonfiction book. He was halfway through. And of course, in the nonfiction, he was writing more about spirituality and stuff like that. And he says, oh, every time I start getting into it, I feel like things change and I find new things. I have to go back. And I was like, just finish the book, man. And I was harping. I was getting on him so much. He was, I don't have to do anything. He yelled at me. I was like, you know what? You're right. You don't have to do anything. But I personally find it that if you're working on a book and you don't finish it, you're being selfish. That's not yours anymore. That's a gift. that you need to give out to others.
Yeah.
And I can't repeat that enough. So, what are you going to do tomorrow morning? Write it out. Fit into your schedule. She did it with 7 children, so you don't have an excuse. I'm sorry. If you can do it with 7 children, no one else can have an excuse. Maybe the guy who's typing with his nose because he doesn't have an arm and legs. But other than that, man, you don't have an excuse. There's no excuse except yourself, Tao. What else can we get on about finishing that first draft? So make sure you have like a little character thing where you can write down every character, what they look like and stuff like that. There's different programs out there. I've tried using some of them, but when I'm adding the different aliens, it kind of like doesn't let me. So I just prefer the Excel. Personally.
Yeah. In my notebook, I have I have character sheets where I will find or draw a picture of the person. And then on the page, you can just take a pen and write in, you know, what color hair, how tall they are, all those details that we can't remember. You know, if you've got 15, 20, 30 characters, for quick reference, so that you can just quickly turn and look. I like to get a picture. So I'll just look online. Woman in their 40s with blonde hair. And I just keep scrolling through the images until I find someone that I think, you know, resembles the person. Then I'll print that out, cut out the picture and tape it onto my page. I don't ever show anyone that picture. So it's for me. So when I open to that page, I look at, there's the picture. There she is. And then I have that in my mind and I can write.
That's actually a good idea because I have a mental image of who, you know, for example, I can't remember her name. Did you ever watch Orange is the New Black?
I saw some of it. I didn't watch the whole series, but I did see a little.
There's a girl, a young girl. Her mother was in there. It was like mother and daughter. The daughter, to me, like that is my one of the characters, Mariela, in the United Earth series. And everybody is somebody that I know personally. And if I don't know, well, I don't know her personally, but somebody I know, so it, that would be a good idea to take their picture. Make sure that those people don't see that.
Yeah. You don't use it because you don't want to use somebody's image, you know, or for anything, but it helps me. It helps me to know. And another thing I do is I try to resemble them to someone that I know really well. Like this person looks like Tom Hanks, except for blonde hair, something like that. So I can quickly, you know, get that to my mind, not necessarily even tell the reader anything about that.
Yeah, but, and giving them scars also helps. That helps a lot with the, like I have these aliens and they kind of look like elephants. And they've been through, like their planet is just completely messed up because it's been overtaken by this empire. And they've been fighting them for the last 100 years. So, you know, on the main character of those aliens, Bren, he has a scar. Like his trunk is pretty chopped up and his chest is indented from a hammer from one, like a police guard. So, you know, giving them those kind of scars also helped. I mean, everybody has to be scarred, but something like it could be a beauty mark, the way they wanted their hair on this something. And it works great for the fantasy world and also for, you know, some sci-fi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that works for anything. Just to put a tag on somebody and then the reader can remember and you can remember. What is this guy? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I found when I was writing that book, there was, are you familiar with Junto Diaz?
No.
Okay, so he won I can never pronounce this correctly, the Pulitzer for The Wonderful World of Oscar Wilde.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the name of the book. So it's about like this nerd, real nerdy Dominican kid in New Jersey that he just doesn't know what's going on, but he's real nerdy. And one of the reasons I, like, for me personally, I didn't read that book while I was writing, because we both have a similar background. And even though our stories are, you know, mine's not about a nerdy kid, but it is, you know, has that, it will have that influence. And I didn't read it because I saw how much it would influence my writing. So when you're writing, for me personally, how do you feel about this? Like, I feel to stay away from something similar to, you know, like, I don't like reading sci-fi. After I'm done during the editing part, I'll read it. But how do you feel about that? Do you feel like?
Oh, that's a good question. I have two different things to say about that. First of all, when you're thinking about writing a specific genre, like, say you're thinking about writing for sci-fi, you haven't really started yet, or maybe you're on your first book, you're just getting started, read a lot of it. Read a lot of that genre to kind of get how it works in your mind. If you haven't been reading it already, most of the time, people want to write certain genres because they read that. They already have read it. So that's the first part. But then you're right. After you are in the writing process, I'm careful what I read. I wrote a historical novel about the Scopes Evolution Trial in 1925. No. And there is a book out called Inherit the Wind. That's a book. It's a book, a movie, and a play about the Scopes trial called Inherit the Wind. I never read it. I never saw the movie. I never went there. And even to this day, I haven't seen it because I didn't want it to influence me. I was writing a book about the same event, and I did not want that to creep in, because subconsciously you'll just automatically start thinking about things. And I never wanted that to happen. So I just stayed away from it completely. And I, to this day, I haven't. That book came out 20 years ago. It just got reprinted last year, but I've never seen Inherit the Wind to this point.
Yeah. Once I was done, the first thing I did was pick up the book. And guess what? It influenced a lot in my second book, because then I used, you know, because I grew up speaking Spanish and English at home, that he wrote that way. And that really influenced, even though in the second book I wrote, United Earth Series, the main character, he's African-American, but, you know, Mariela, she's Dominican. So a lot of that influence came out. You know, I came out on her. Mm-hmm. What I find funny is when some people get offended when you're like, your character's code switching. So Stevie will code switch, but I've had editors say, like, oh, you need to stick to one. You know, I was like, no, because that's, I do that. You know, the way if I'm in my old neighborhood with the old guys from my neighborhood, I'm not going to talk this way. I'm going to talk that way. But if I'm in an interview, I'm going to talk this way, you know?
That is so interesting, because my family lived in the Caribbean for 14 years. We lived in Grenada.
Oh, wow.
And so my children, they're as white as snowflakes, all of them, seven of them. But they grew up in the islands. And so when, you know, they're around regular people, white people, they just talk as American as can be. And then my son gets a call from one of his friends down there in the islands. The minute he picks up the phone, he's into the lingo. You would never know that he wasn't an authentic Caribbean guy. So I totally get it. You just kind of blend with wherever you are. Just kind of flow with it. Flow with it.
Yeah. And the same thing that your characters are going to do, because even if you're writing fantasy or anything, what's going to attract your readers is something that makes it real for them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and you know what's hilarious? It was about 3 weeks ago, this realization popped in that both my characters, my main characters of the two books I had one thing, like they had these things in common where they didn't come from great areas. They don't have a great path. Both of them don't have great education, and yet they were able to level themselves to this high level, and they didn't take no for an answer. And I was like, oh, that's what I need to do.
Yes.
So that's when I realized, like, oh, I really need to go after this hardcore, because they did it and I can't let them down. You know?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And that was the other thing, like, during writing, if I stopped writing for a while, especially the first book, I felt that I was letting, his name is Trevor, the main character, I felt like I was letting him down. Like, I got to stop my life because you being lazy or self-doubtful over here. Can I live my life?
Yes. Yes, exactly. But a lot of times hardship makes us tough, gives us the drive to keep going. And so what I've learned, because I came up hard myself, is that we embrace it. I embrace those days. I embrace the hardship. They made me strong. They made me dedicated and motivated. And if I hadn't had that rough upbringing, I would not be where I am today, because it takes drive. It takes determination and just sheer stubbornness.
And delusional. You need to be a little delusional.
I have to agree with you on that.
Yeah, because the thing is, what's the first thing they tell you when you say you want to be an author? What's the first thing? You're not going to really make money on that. Have something else to fall back on. Maybe you should, like, go into this and then do that as a hobby. That's the first thing everybody tells you.
Yeah.
So, and then when you say, no, I'm going to make it as an author, I'm going to make a living from this, guess what? You're being delusional. But what's the bridge between delusion and making a reality? Hard work.
Yeah.
That is the bridge between the two. I mean, look around you. Everything in your house is delusional. That you have electricity without fire? Oh my God. You know? You're talking from a computer, a handheld computer. That's, you know, if I said that 100 years, 200 years ago, they would have hung me by the neck.
So
it's all a delusion until you make it real.
Yes.
The other thing I like to compare to is, if you think about the 4-minute mile, right? The 4-minute mile was said by scientists to be impossible. Now, if you can't run a 4-minute mile, you can't even, you don't even bother coming to the race.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's not even anything special anymore.
Right. Right.
So the same thing with your dream. And if you want to be an author, you need to keep it quiet. And, oh, I forgot to say, one of my main rules is, and then I learned this the hard way, is that when you're writing your book, do not let anybody read it. Do not let any, I don't care who you're talking about. I don't care if Jesus show up, Muhammad, do not let anybody read it, because they're not going to understand where you're going with this. They're going to push you to go a different way, that's not the way you wanted to go, or that's the way the story was going. And many people, because they don't understand the idea of a rough draft, which means it's rough, they're going to start correcting your grammar. And guess what that's going to do? And I did that. I had, like, so many people reading it, and they all, like, the first thing I said was, hey, it's a rough draft. Don't look at the grammar. Just tell me how's the story. What was the first thing they said? Oh, you need to work on the grammar. What did I just say? Some people, they just can't get past the grammar. Like, they can't read the story without the grammar. So don't let them read it. And then once you get that first, second, I'm not going too much in what to do after you finish that first draft, but I will tell you this. Once you do, like, 2 or 3 before you take it to an editor and you cleaned it up as much as possible, find an author friend and give it to them and let them read it and let them critique you. The more you have, the better. Don't get crazy and get like 100, but like 2 or 3 at the most. And take their ideas and see, you know, they'll sometimes point out things like, a friend of mine, she hasn't finished her first book yet, but she was reading mine. She was like, you know, I really would like to know more about Mariela. Like, there's not much known about her. So with this part four, I did the whole book almost all about her. Like, the main character was barely in there. He was in the beginning, and then it's all about her and the other character, Jack. So talking, because not much was known about both of them, so I really went into there. And that really helped me out to do that and then get it to a professional editor. And an English teacher, I don't care if he has a PhD in English, he is not a book editor. Do not.
Well, let me stop right there, because that is truth.
Do not give it to him. From experience, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
They're not editors. Like, stick to a Chicago style editor. Like, I've heard other artists say, oh, you can find an editor, for $50, $100. You get a knockoff, you're going to get something.
Yeah, you need a professional editor who knows about publishing, not school. Publishing and school is two different things.
You would never think so, though. If you don't know that, you would never think so.
Yeah.
Do not allow your friend to do it. Do not allow other people who said they've done it. If they don't have that Chicago, what is it called? Chicago style.
Chicago manual of style.
And what's the other one? Because I've only used this.
I do Chicago manual style. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. If they don't have that certificate, do not mess with them.
Mm-hmm.
You want this professionally done. You're paying the money for it. And while you're writing this book, save the money for a good editor and a great graphic book designer.
Mm-hmm.
You need those two things.
Yeah. Extreme. Really great advice. Terrific advice.
But
wow.
Right yeah. now, don't worry about that. Because if you don't finish, you don't need it anymore.
Yeah, you got to get the book done before you start thinking about that part of it.
Yeah.
So you brought some gifts. Talk about your gifts.
Oh, the giveaways you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes. Wow. I completely forgot and left it in the other room. So, I'll just show you. So, how do you want to do this? So I'm going to get...
Talk about it. The people that are listening to audio, they're going to hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have four books published. I will give it to a person, but how do you want to give it away is my question.
If you... Are you on Instagram?
Yes.
Okay. How about if you tell your Instagram name and then whoever messages you first on Instagram?
All right. So it's... my name, RM _ Almonte, Almonte. And find me on Instagram. And there, whoever sends me, hey, I heard you on Lana McCara. Correct, right?
Yeah, Lana McCara, the Fiction Writer Podcast.
No, I was trying to remember the last name because it kind of throws, because I wouldn't say
Akira,
yeah. Put it together and I was like, no, it's separate. My assistant / wife brought it for me here. So for those of you on video, because of the background, anyway. But yeah, so that would be Scratching the Cosmic Conscience, United Earth Rough Beginnings part one, Exile, that's part two, and Hope and Despair. And just in case you guys are wondering the reason why I called it Hope and Despair, because I kind of, sorry, Despair and Hope, because sometimes you'll have the despair first and then you have to have hope to get over it. So that's why it switched you around. Mm-hmm. But you will get all four of those books signed by me. Send me a message. Of course, either give me your P.O. box or you have to give me your address. I know some people are like, I'm not going to give you my address. I don't know how to get it to you then. my portal machine doesn't work that well out in the fridge. My transporter has to work.
Teleport.
It's out in the fridge, so I can't teleport it to you.
So that's on Instagram, RM_ALMONTE.
Yeah, the first thing I'll do, I'll find Lana on there, and make sure she has me so you can look for me.
Yeah.
You should be able to find me. I also made sure I got the blue check mark. I mean, I'm not that famous yet, but I see people do it with everybody's podcast and everybody's Instagrams just faking the account. So make sure it has a blue check mark. If they ask you for money, it's not me. I haven't had that happen to me yet, but just in case.
Yeah.
You don't want your listeners coming back to you. He was charging $400 for books. That wasn't me.
No, that wasn't right. That wasn't right. Ramon, thank you for being with us
today.
This has been amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like I could go for another 2 hours. But
I know. It's so much to talk about. So in the description, you'll see all the links and everything for Ramon. And go check his books out. He has got such great information. And follow him and get the books.
Yeah. And the last thing I want to say is believe in yourself more than anybody else. If your mother believes in you more than you do, you got a problem. You need to believe in yourself more than anybody else. That's how you're going to do it. So believe that you can do it and get it done.
Great point.
Next time it will be you and I'm listening to you.
Yes. Love it. Awesome. Thank you so much for being with us today. My name is Lana McCara. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning into the Fiction Writers Podcast with Lana McCara, where we share tips, tricks, and ideas for fiction that is hashtag unputdownable. Remember to visit our website at www.fictionwriterspodcast.com and enjoy even more great episodes like this one. Again, while you're here, subscribe to us via your favorite network. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Fiction Writers Podcast.